right, episode 135. We're back, and we're back with a special guest, Tim. I'm not even going to try to pronounce your last name.
Yeah, nobody should. I don't even like it. But you know, Smith and Jones were taken when
How do you say your last
name? It's Kleindienst. So when I tell people, I'm like, hey, it's like, think of Calvin Klein, Dienst.
Okay.
But I get Klindestin, Klinquist, Klindedienst.
Well, here's the good news about, I mean, my last name is Mack, obviously. It's not hard to, if you spell it correctly, people know how to say it. But I get Mac a lot. I don't know why. Yeah. Like, there's a lot of typos, Mac, right? But it's, you will know immediately if it's a telemarketer calling you when they say, hey, can I speak to Tim? And then they just butcher it, right? Yep. You know what I mean? So it's like, click, might as well hang up, right?
Yeah.
So
when I was in basic training, they'd be like, trainee, click, click. I'm like,
yeah.
Here, sir.
Yeah. Hilarious. Substitute teacher, right? Yeah. They have no clue what's going on. All right. Well, Tim is a client of ours. So we have a special guest client. And Tim is, well, what do you want? How do you even want to describe what you do? I mean, we've worked together for a few years now, right? Specifically in the land of poultry, mm-hmm. I'll say that. And I'll leave it up to you if you want to discuss company names or things like that or whatever, you know, but because the internet never forgets Tim, you know?
Yeah.
But Tim's a marketing extraordinaire. We've done a lot of fun, super cool projects together. We were literally just talking about a great campaign that we ran at the end of last year, right? Digital campaign. Let's fire that baby back up again this year. And Tim is in town for a trade show, I believe, right?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So
I'm actually on a world tour right now. I call it, you know, I went on a trip back in March, but I was gone every week with my counterpart. And we called it the Heiress Tour because we were home maybe like 7 days tops of the whole month.
But tradition, you don't travel a ton, do you? Or is travel back? I mean, we're
last
back.
Last year I traveled... I've probably, since I started in July of 23, this is probably trip number 30.
Oh, my Lord.
Okay. Yeah, it's a lot of travel.
That's far more travel
It's usually not that way.
Okay.
But we were so driven by everything we wanted to accomplish that we were out. If we weren't out trying to change the world, we were out getting knowledge on how to change the world.
I love that. I love that answer.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you were just in Charlotte, and now you're in town in Atlanta for a show, and then you're staying overnight, and then you're flying back, I think, right?
Correct.
Is that what's happening?
Yeah. Hopefully good weather back home, so I want to golf.
Yeah. Are you a big golfer?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Everybody here in the office is a golfer but me, so... but Tim and I also do share a love of baseball. Every time we talk about... Every time we jump on the phone, we probably do... If it's a 10-minute call... I'd say it's probably 2 minutes of work and then at least 8 minutes of sports. Is that a correct statement?
Yeah, that's probably right.
But the truth is that we are bitter rivals, my friend.
We are.
We are mortal. We are. Even though we love each other, we are mortal enemies. Yeah. Because I am a San Francisco Giants guy and Tim is a Dodger fan.
Go Blue. Which, and I want to get back at you this year, so we took a couple of your folks.
I know. Well, Snell was not... Snell didn't really work out for us.
Yeah.
You know? And we all kind of knew it was going to be a one-year thing anyway. You know, what I am shocked about, if I may... we're not even going to talk about work at all here, but I am shocked when pitchers want to leave San Francisco. And I am a biased San Francisco fan because that is absolutely a pitcher's ballpark, right? I can understand, Judge doesn't want to come to San Francisco because you might have less homers and things like that. You know, the vanity of statistics in baseball, right? Because baseball is so statistical driven, right? But a pitcher, like, man, you know, wouldn't you want to pitch in a pitcher-friendly ballpark? It's weird.
Exactly.
To me. But the Dodgers, man, you guys are loaded. You guys are loaded, and you're never not going to be loaded.
Yeah,
now,
I haven't been able to keep up the last couple of weeks, but
well, you
I
got
did
Sasaki.
See. I saw we got him.
Yeah.
It's going to be a beastly team. You know what? My dad will call me, and he'll be like, "Oh, he's a Pirates fan."
Oh, Lord.
And he's like, hey, you know, this is ridiculous. He lives in Long Beach. But he'd be like, the Dodgers suck and they get all these people and it's not fair. I'm like, I mean, change the rules on cap.
Well, but the Dodgers are changing the rules with all of the prorated contracts.
Yeah.
And I think Kyler in the office, he's a big Braves fan. And he's worked on a bunch of stuff with you before. You know, he was telling me earlier the other day that like some of these deals too are again backloaded or prorated contracts, which I don't know. So I haven't really dug into it too much. So
You know, it'll be interesting. I think it's going to be a good year. I mean, but now you know how it is. So in football, you had Mahomes get $500 million.
Yeah,
and now everybody's inflated and everybody's getting something. I mean, look at offensive linemen and the amount they're getting.
Yeah, I know. Well, if you're a left tackle, you're good. If you're a guard, you're screwed.
Yeah. But baseball is the same thing.
Yeah.
You give, you know, Otani $700 million.
It's unbelievable.
Mostly deferred.
Yeah.
And now everybody, Juan Soto.
Yeah.
Everybody's getting
it's unreal.
Paid now.
It's
and
unreal.
So it'll just continue to inflate. And I imagine at some point it will affect how many people can go to a game.
Yeah, yeah.
I went to a few Dodger games this year and I was like, you know, it's going to be crazy expensive.
To buy a ticket?
To buy a ticket.
Yeah.
I went out to Dodger Stadium.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is going to be expensive year. And surprisingly, it wasn't bad, yeah. but I don't think it's hit yet. It's kind of like
what's
COVID,
a,
right?
What's a Dodger dog cost now?
$15
for a hot dog?
I've never bought one there.
Okay.
But I'll tell you, a beer costs almost 20.
Oh, Lord.
So.
Yeah, I'm not surprised by that at all.
Yeah.
So, well, what's interesting too is baseball isn't, they're not all collected like football is, you know,
yep.
I mean, football, it's all spread together. It's true. You could almost make the argument it's socialism because it's everyone, yeah. you know, they all share everything together. It doesn't
exactly.
matter who sells more jerseys or not or whatever. Yep. It's all just, it all goes in the pot, you know? But baseball is still fragmented between the haves and have nots. I mean, you have your own local television deals. I mean, football gets all the money because of, you know, television contracts and things like
yep.
that. And then all that is spread out evenly across the 30 some odd teams, right? Baseball is not like that. So
nope.
your poor dad and the Pirates, like, they have to make their money off of parking, off of, you know, hot
and
dogs.
Paul Skeens.
You know? And what?
And Paul Skeens.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so. He says they create the players that go out to other teams to succeed.
They're like a top flight farm team.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
But I did, for your dad, I think I read McCutcheon's coming back, but I could be wrong.
I didn't see it.
I've got a really good pal, Ben. He grew up in Pittsburgh and he's a big Bucks fan. So
let me tell you a story about the Pirates and my dad. We lived in El Monte growing up.
Okay.
And in first grade, my dad went to a Dodgers game. They played the Pirates.
Okay.
And he said, or I guess, my mom got tickets for them. They went. My dad was in the Air Force recruiting there at the time.
Yeah. Okay.
So we're in bed because, you know, it's late.
Yeah.
They go out there. And this is back when, like, players would come out and sign things for you.
Yeah. This the 80s? Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It was probably 85.
Okay. Yeah.
And he catches a home run. And this is back, like, at whatever point it was, Barry Bonds, Bobby Bonilla, all these people on the team.
Yeah, okay.
And he catches a ball, and after the game, they're all out signing it. He gets everybody to sign this ball on
Amazing.
The team, including the manager and everything.
Okay.
Brings it home.
Jim Leland? Was he
back? I don't know who
okay,
was
doesn't
on
matter.
There.
Doesn't matter.
He brings it home. I'm already in bed.
Dude, how badass. Your dad catches a homer, and then everybody signs the ball.
Everybody.
Okay.
Like, that ball would probably be worth a decent amount now.
Yeah.
So if he still had it.
Several hundred nickels, Tim.
Yeah.
Several.
Yeah. Hey, right?
Okay. If he still had it, that's foreshadowing what's to come.
Here we come.
What happened?
So I wake up to go to school. My mom's getting us ready. I see this ball. She tells me what happened.
Okay.
And it's show and tell at school that day.
Oh,
and
no.
And I'm like, I'm just going to take this ball.
Okay.
And I'll
You
show
didn't
it.
Ask your dad?
No,
he was already gone.
He was asleep.
Okay,
because they got home late, and so I'm like, I'll take this ball to school.
Okay,
in L.A.
Yeah,
and she was show and tell. We didn't even make it to lunch; it was already stolen out of my cubby. So I still don't. My dad still does not like to talk about that day.
Oh
he
my
owned
God.
That ball.
Don't
for
send
less
your dad
than 12
this
hours.
Oh
yeah.
My God, that poor guy. What? Okay, so you get home. So by lunchtime, you realize it's gone.
Yeah.
Right. Where's the ball? Okay. Do we have just an unbelievable sense of dread going home? Like,
oh, yeah.
I have to go home and tell my dad I lost the ball, you know,
well,
or the ball was stolen or whatever.
I have to go home and I'm going to tell my mom.
Oh.
I'm going to let her tell my dad.
Oh, God. Okay. And you're what, hiding under the bed?
Yeah. He never made a comment to me. He was a man of very small words.
Okay.
Back then. And so, and still. But, he never even had a conversation with me. My mom filled me in.
Oh, Lord. Okay.
And he was devastated.
Yeah.
Which is why we don't talk about the ball now.
Okay.
It's just one of the things. So when I saw Sandlot and a Baby Ruth, I'm like, oh, I know what that feels like.
Has it ever come up? I mean, in the last
four,
it never comes up. It's just, we don't talk about this
It's just
ever.
Not a thing we talk about.
Oh my God. Yeah. Okay. That is, that's brutal, dude.
Yeah.
But I can't imagine, like, the terror of going home and having to admit, like, I'm going to call it epic failure too. Mm-hmm. Like unbelievable systemic breakdown failure on every level.
Yeah.
You know, like, and then the wrath of my dad, you know,
that was, I mean, we lived in LA, so we had a lot of things stolen, our house broken into a bunch, things like that. So, you know, it's just like, that was probably the beginning of
Should've moved up to San Francisco, got stolen, buddy.
Right? Well,
I'm just kidding.
I had a book.
Yeah.
I had a lot of baseball cards.
Okay.
I still have some at home. Yeah. Probably not worth anything, but I kept them for my son.
Yeah.
He can give them to whoever later.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because I had Roberto Clemente's.
Oh, wow. Okay.
My dad got.
Nice.
Those got stolen too.
Ugh.
Different time.
Yeah.
But I had a Giants book.
Okay.
And it had all the Giants players.
Amazing.
In like 90 to 91 had them all in this book.
Nice.
Stolen. Gosh, but maybe that was for the best.
We had, Will Clark, I'm sure, was on that team. Kevin Mitchell.
Yeah.
You know, those were good teams. The Giants were good. The A's were good back then, too.
So. We lived up at Travis Air Force Base at that time, so we were only like 40 minutes from San Francisco.
Okay, not bad.
And, you know, I liked having that book.
Yeah.
Somebody gave me the Giants book.
That's
I don't know who it was, but I was like, oh, well, I have this. I might as well collect them.
Yeah. I went to so many Giants games. My Aunt Jane was a season ticket holder. Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. She was a season ticket holder from the minute they moved from New York. You know, the very first year, right? So, and she had tickets right behind home plate, 13 rows back. She was on TV like all
the
time.
From New York? Is she a defector?
No. She's from San Francisco.
Okay.
She was born and raised in San Francisco, but when the Giants moved with the Dodgers, mm-hmm. right, when both of those teams left New York and moved California, she got season tickets, right? And then she had season tickets all through my youth. Same for the Niners too. But for the Giants, I never had a ticket. I would just take the train in. I'd meet her at Candlestick, or I'd meet her at Pac Bell when I was in high school and stuff, which is, now it's called Oracle or whatever it's called now. But she knew everybody who worked there. She knew all the ushers. She knew all of the scouts that would sit back there with the radar gun stuff.
Past time?
Oh, it was amazing. And so she'd be like, Harold, like, this is my grandson. Let him in. Blah, 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 blah. You know, and so I'd go in there and I'd sit back behind home. It was incredible.
Yeah.
Oh, it was so much fun. Niners games, I used to go with her. You had to get a ticket for that. I mean, she couldn't like sneak me in or some of that. But I've got, you're talking about the book. I've got these crazy old photo albums. Unfortunately, Aunt Jane has passed since now, but I've got all these old albums of her, like Polaroids and stuff, of like booster trips, like in the 70s and the 80s
That's
and stuff.
Cool.
And it's like, oh, here's when we followed, Willie Mays around for his 500th home run. And then here's when we followed him around for his 600th home run, you know, and here's the ticket stubs, like all this crazy, crazy old, like Giants memorabilia. And I've got all these balls that are, I'm like, I don't know who half these people are, you know, you can't read any, you know, or it's personalized like, hey, Jane, blah, 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 you know, whatever, you know, I'm like, oh my God, it's so funny. I've got a, Randy Cross was a great 49er, shifting gears real quick. And I've got one of those, practice balls signed by him, his rookie year, you know, and I'm like, that's cool. But like, Who wants a Randy Cross? You know, I mean, he was the center, right?
Anybody?
He was a center for all those teams, you know, that won the Super Bowl, the four Super Bowls with Montana. And it's like, you know, it's a cool personal memento, but it's like, what do I do with these, you know? So
when I was growing up, we lived for a very short time. We lived in, at Travis Air Force Base.
Okay.
My dad was stationed there.
Yeah.
And then he went over to the Philippines and Mount Pinatubo blew. And then we would move back to LA while he was stuck out there.
Okay.
But while
did
we
you
were
move
there,
out there with him at all? Did you spend any time out there?
In the Philippines?
In the Philippines?
No.
No, okay.
He was
okay.
On a remote.
Okay, he went off on it. Okay, got it.
Yep. So we lived there maybe 2 years.
Okay.
We moved from LA up there, did that. As soon as that blew and we couldn't get in touch, my mom moved us back to LA.
Okay, but he grew up in Pittsburgh as to why he's a Pittsburgh.
No. He grew up, he was from El Monte.
Really?
Yeah,
why was he a Pirates fan though?
I have no idea.
Okay, just Clemente.
I've never even heard the story.
Okay.
But
well, clearly baseball is a sore spot.
Yeah. Well, he's a Cowboys fan too, so.
Oh gosh.
His life's
hurting. I can't be friends with you guys. Yeah. I mean, Cowboys Niners?
I didn't want to be a Cowboys fan.
No.
I'm not a Cowboys fan.
Okay, thank God.
Although I think Dak Prescott's probably need to move on.
Yeah, yeah.
If they want to do something.
Yeah.
My dad became, or he was always a Cowboys fan. And when they were winning the Super Bowls, like, I don't want to be a Cowboys fan.
Yeah.
And that's when the Jaguars expanded with the Panthers.
That was mid-90s, 94, 95,
like,
something like that.
Oh, I'll be a Jaguar fan.
Okay.
And Raiders, because they were Los Angeles Raiders when I was there. So, you know, you were either Rams or your Raiders.
Yeah.
So I'm accustomed to losing.
Okay.
In fact, I'm so glad that I found fantasy football because the only reason to watch football for me anymore.
Yeah.
We get all the Chiefs games.
Yeah.
They're fun to watch.
Sure. I don't know, man. We were talking in the office about it because we just had the championship games here. Yeah. Like, the Chiefs are kind of running, I mean, I'm not qualified to say this, but it's very reminiscent of the early 2000s Patriots team of like, they're exactly boring as hell to watch. Yeah. You know, it's 7-yard passes at a maximum. You know what I mean? It's mostly dink and dunk. It's a dink and dunk thing, you know? And, you know, against Buffalo, right, they've got the rookie guy out there. You know, he's 9 yards off the receiver at the line of scrimmage, and then he's already running backwards before the play.
Xavier,
you know,
Worthy.
Yeah, exactly, right. And it's like,
and that was maddening. I'm like, stop.
They just throw five-yard passes, and then it's his first down after, you know, like, and hey, it's effective. It works. I mean, I get it. But, like, man, is it boring as hell to watch.
I think
you know?
That they, you know, I think what we're seeing in the NFL right now is defense is – defense is bigger than offense. Defense is winning games these days.
Well,
everybody's defense is ridiculous.
Absolutely. I mean, my youth was filled with Niners winning Super Bowls, you know? Yeah. And now that I'm adult, we've lost 3 Super Bowls in a row. And my kids are crying after the 0. It's a disaster, you know? So,
house is burning down. You know, living there in at Travis, which is like Vacaville, Fairfield.
Yeah.
That's when the A's were in their prime.
Oh, dude.
And I thought as a kid, I was like, oh, whoever wins this game goes to play the A's in the World Series. Like the A's are this team that they're just always there.
Yeah.
And I really thought, I'm like, oh, the A's are the team that everybody has to go play when the season's at the end.
Yeah. It's funny. Man, those late 80s, early 90s A's teams with Tony La Russa as a manager, and you had Ricky Henderson, you had the Cobra, Dave Parker, you had Carney Langsford. Those pitchers, they had Dave Stewart on the mound, so intimidating. Bob Welch, you know. Eckersley was the closer, you know. Like, but they only won one World Series. They were like the Braves of the 90s, you know. Yeah. They kept getting through. Boston couldn't beat them. You know, they'd always beat Boston in the playoffs. And remember, there was no like wild card. There was no, it was like there weren't a lot of playoff games. And then they would just get to the World Series and then lose it. The only time they won is when they beat my Giants in the Earthquake Series, the Battle of the Bay, 89, right?
That was a wild time.
Yeah.
Living out there was a wild
time. My Aunt Jane, to bring this back to an Aunt Jane moment, you know, she had she always had a white Cadillac, you know, God love her. She had this white Cadillac, and then she had this bumper sticker, which clearly she put on and she should not have because it was crooked, wrinkled, the whole, like, oh no, you know, this beautiful Cadillac and you stuck this damn bumper sticker on it. And it was, I sat in the rumble seat in Candlestick Park, you know, like, cause she was at the World Series game, you know, so funny. So
gosh, it was that was a crazy time. My dad was like yelling at me. Apparently I wasn't there. I was out riding my bike or doing something.
Yeah.
I was probably carrying my stereo on my shoulder.
Okay.
Somewhere.
Boombox. I love
neighborhood.
It. Okay. Hellion.
Yeah,
there's little Tim.
Crazy.
Yeah, destroying the neighborhood again.
Exactly.
That's funny.
And he thought I was standing behind the vehicle, rocking his vehicle while he was washing it.
Yeah.
Which, you know, my dad was like, "Don't step in oil. Don't touch the windows. Yeah. Don't."
Well, he's
do
an
this,
Air Force
do
guy.
Yeah.
And then, shocker, you went in the Air Force.
Yeah. Don't
which
walk
I'm sure
on
there's
the
a story there. You know.
Yeah.
You don't have to say it. You don't have to share that.
No, it's fine.
Yeah.
You know what? It segues into marketing later on.
Well, let's let's pivot into, because gosh, well, I think we spent 18 minutes not talking about marketing, which is totally fine because this is great.
That's what we do.
And I love
it. Well, we knew this was going to be longer. So if you do 10 minutes and we're spending 8 talking about baseball.
Tim, I've got all day.
And we have all this time.
I mean.
We have to also get that same percentage out of it.
Okay, let's do it. All right. Well, we'll pivot to whatever you want to share. You know what I mean? Like, so it doesn't have to be a retrospective of your career or whatever like that by any stretch.
I mean,
but I'd love to sort of hear your take on what maybe working with agencies or working with a firm like us, you know, or just, I don't know, just whatever you want to share, that type of thing. Just chill.
Well, my background began getting kicked out of high school, my first high school.
No way,
my
really?
My first senior year.
Okay, we are going deep.
Yeah, I was a troublemaker.
Really? Okay. So you did rebel a little bit. I was joking, but a little.
No, I did.
Okay.
I did.
Okay.
You know, growing up in.
This is like a stereotype, dude.
Yeah.
This is like my dad's in the Air Force.
Yeah.
Too many rules. I'm going to break the rules.
Yeah. No, I just, you know, hanging out with the wrong people.
Yeah.
Doing all that. Got kicked out of school my first senior year.
Okay.
And then my mom, I was like the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Oh, my
but
God.
My mom moved me to Fort Smith, Arkansas to live with my Aunt Jane.
Okay, wow.
Yeah. And
awesome.
While I was there, the summer. I can't even imagine
leaving California and moving to Arkansas.
It was different for
that
sure.
Is, yeah.
Especially it's a culture.
Well, back then too, again, there's no, like once, you know, it's, I try to explain this to my kids and it's like, if you left, like you're gone. Like you might as well have died. Like there's no internet. There's no, like no one's making long distance phone calls to their friends. No one's writing letters, you know, like there's no, but I mean, no AOL. I mean, if it's like, you're gone. Poof. Yeah. Like out of the system. Like, you know.
It's so crazy to see movies now where you look back and you're, I mean, COVID, if that happened to us in the '80s, we'd just die.
Yeah.
Because you can't talk to anybody. You'd, I know. You'd, if you're long cord talking to your friend and your parent picks
the kitchen
it up,
phone.
Hey, get off the phone.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So I moved
So you moved for the senior year to Arkansas.
Moved there, was doing my GED and decided, you know, I'll just go back to school for a year.
Yeah.
And finish this thing out.
That's cool.
So I finished and graduated in 2007-99.
Okay.
And my dad had retired that year, so I decided, oh, you know what? I feel patriotic, and I honestly had nothing else going anyways.
Yeah.
So I went ahead and joined the Air Force.
Okay. That's cool.
Got stationed in Alaska for my first one.
Whoa!
Sat back and hoped that I could make it through the 6 years I signed up for, no wars or anything.
6 years is what, wow, okay.
So
Why do I have 4 years on my mind? Maybe that
they
2 years
is
a GI.
Okay,
but you did the full six.
I did
okay.
the six. The six gave me extra rank.
Okay.
Starting out. So I was like, well, maybe I won't get into any wars or anything. And then a year and a half
Persian
into
Gulf.
It,
right. Yeah.
The 9/11 happens a year and a half in. And then it's just, it's a blur.
Yeah.
Six-hour notice to go to some country and be gone.
Lord.
And
okay.
One time we were eating in an Applebee's, and they called, and I had to change in the bathroom and get dropped off at the Joint Mobility Complex, and I was gone.
Poof.
You know, we were on a Hawaiian Airlines plane, and we land in the dark, and of course, the screens come on, welcome to Hawaii, and blah, 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 we were in Korea. So,
what?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So we fast forward all the way to getting out of the military, 16 years.
So is it a fair, can I interject though and say was it just a lot of logistical stuff or like Air Force? Like what did you do in the Air Force? I mean, it's probably too long of a question.
No, I was a personnelist. So my peacetime job was more like HR.
Okay. Got it. Got
admin
it.
Type stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Managing personnel and, you know, I mean, like the business of people. Got it. Okay,
my
that's cool. Okay.
My wartime job was casualty and accountability for the most part.
Okay.
So I went to Cuba, did the detainee thing.
Oh, wow. Dude, this is
when
intense.
When we first took them
in.
Did Japan, Korea, Kuwait, the border of Iraq, some convoy.
Okay.
So you kind of just do whatever you have to do.
Yeah.
I mean, even before my first deployment, they didn't have enough police on the base, security forces.
Yeah.
So I got pulled from my career field, spent almost a year doing that.
Really? MP is what you were. Oh, wow.
Yep.
Okay.
Then got pulled back into my career field and deployed.
Yeah.
So a little bit of everything at that time.
It's and kind of interesting in a strange way looking back on it though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I worked as an inspector general. So I was pulled up to work for the wing commander. So if you look at a base, that'd be like your CEO of the base.
Yeah.
And what I would do is any congressional complaints that came in, help the IG, which is the actual inspector general.
Yeah.
With investigating those.
Wow.
And then also learning up people's jobs in other units so that I can go and inspect them to see
Are they doing
the health
job?
Of their program.
Yeah. Got it. Got
and
it.
Then help them fix it.
Yeah. Interesting.
Went to ROTC.
Well, I think what's interesting about this is definitely like learning on the fly, not necessarily doing what you thought you were going to do and then having to pivot. Right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that is an interesting skill set too. I mean, I don't want to correlate the military to marketing by any stretch. You know,
I think it is.
But sometimes you have to follow the data. Sometimes you have to follow the people. Sometimes you have to follow what the market conditions are. You know, you can have everything set and ready to go to launch a product. And then, 9/11, like anything could happen. COVID happened. You know what I mean? We all had to pivot and things like that. Right.
Or a product change.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, if I look back in my career, I was telling somebody recently, I said, I sat in a room at basic training in the what's called the military personnel flight, or it used to be, and watched this guy sitting in his blues, a senior airman, an E3, so he's young, typing on the computer and doing all the stuff. And I had to go in there and say what job I wanted.
Yeah.
Because the first job they gave me was, I thought I was doing like fiber optics and stuff. Okay. No, it was climbing poles. I was going to be a pole guy.
Okay.
And they have you go out and they clamp you in a C-clamp.
For what? To like run infrastructure?
Like electrical poles.
Like wires and stuff.
Okay. Civil engineering.
Okay.
And they clamp you in to see if you could do it. And they have you go to like the fourth step and hang backwards with your arms off. Now, if I did that now, I wouldn't care. But at the time, you're in a training environment.
Yeah.
You're scared all the time.
Yeah.
You're worried you're going to get kicked out or whatnot.
Yeah.
But then they want you to go up to the top and then they want you to let go.
Oh,
so
man.
That the clamp catches you somewhere along the way down.
Yeah, and so I'm you got like, used to like if an accident happened, if you slipped, if something happened or weather or whatever. Yeah.
I made it to the fourth step and I said, I'm not doing that.
I'm out.
So then they send me over there and they're like, okay, well, the only jobs we have for you are security forces, which my dad was a cop his whole career. He's like, I do not want you to be in security forces, which I end up doing anyways. Loved it.
Yeah.
And combat controller. I'm like, okay, so I'm not hanging off this thing backwards. Off the fourth thing, but you want me to go be a special operator?
I was about to say, man, that's quite a pivot right there, you know?
So I did get to train with those guys towards the end of my career. And
that's
it
cool.
was a blast.
Yeah.
But I was also doing all my CrossFit competitions as fit
that's
as
cool.
possible.
Yeah. Could eat a bag of chips and go run 5 miles, no problem.
Yeah, right? It wasn't anything. But my last assignment was ROTC at the University of Arkansas. And I had cadets and I was able to teach some classes, but mostly I ran all the programs that
it's cool.
They got them from the day they walk in the door to the day they commission.
Okay.
And then I got some fun perks like going out to special tactics, playing around with them, and then teaching combatives. So I taught ground fighting.
Okay.
And I would just do that 10 hours a day.
I mean, it's all leadership. That's awesome.
Yeah. So. It was a great time.
All right. So you spent 6 years in there and then you get out and how do you end up in market? Like, how does that happen?
Yeah. I had a cadet come in my office once and he walks in the office and he's like, hey, I need you to print this and this and blah, blah. I said, I think you need to step out that door and try that again.
Yeah.
I said, I don't know who you're talking to.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you need to go out and try that again.
Okay.
And he walks in, he's like, hey, Sergeant K, I'm sorry about that. May I get this print? I said, I said, why'd you do that, man?
Yeah.
And he's like, well, you know, the commander, we had a missile commander.
Okay.
Some of those guys, not all of them, but some of those guys are, they just think they're the best thing ever happened in the world.
Yeah.
And he said, oh, yeah, he said that, you know, we're going to be officers and we'll be over you guys. And that the officers get degrees and the enlisted don't. I said, well, first of all, 84% of the Air Force is enlisted.
Okay.
So do not piss an enlisted person off.
Yeah.
You know, you'll see these officers who will piss off their crew chiefs for the plane and they'll break the plane. Yeah. I worked in AWACS and you did not piss off that guy.
Yeah. Don't rub people the wrong way, especially the people that you need.
Yeah. Especially the people who, you know, work on your plane.
Yeah.
And I said, and of that 84%, 51% of them have degrees.
Yeah.
I didn't have my degree at that time, but it fueled me to go get it. So I went and got my associates for the Air Force. I got a business management degree, a BS in business.
Okay.
And then I got bored that year. So I knew I always wanted to do marketing. So I went back and got a bachelor's science in marketing.
Okay.
And at that point I said, you know what? I'm going to go out and try something different. I read Simon Sinek's book,
Love Simon Sinek. We use him in some new biz pitches from time. Like the why. You know what I mean?
Well, so, that's the book I read. Yeah. It was on the chief of staff reading list.
Yeah.
Granted, nobody follows it. But I really believed in that servant leadership.
Yeah.
And I had heard about Donnie Smith over Tyson.
Okay.
And reading the stuff that a friend of mine who worked there would send me. Just send me crazy.
Because you're
stuff.
Back in Arkansas at this time.
Yeah. Right,
okay.
I'm still there.
Yeah. Okay.
So I got there in April of 2010 and I haven't left.
Okay.
But I got out in November of 15. But I said, you know what? And people thought, hey, you're crazy.
Yeah.
You're going to get out 5 years before. It's like, they want to move me to Randolph Air Force Base in San Antonio to work a call center.
Yeah.
And then deploy me for a year.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm done doing that. My wife was active duty. She had a brain aneurysm.
Oh, geez.
She's good now. But, okay.
You have a lot of stuff going on.
We just had, we have a young kid and I'm over it all.
Yeah.
I've already traveled enough.
Yeah.
So I said, I'm going to play my hand. I'm going to go out and do this.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be at or better than where I would have been if I stayed in.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Understood.
Luckily, I did that. I'll tell you, it's really hard for veterans to get out and to find a job because people just think you blow shit up all day.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's not what we do.
Yeah.
Like, there are professionals with skill sets.
Yeah.
I think that's what it is. Don't worry about the job. Worry about the fact that this person's adaptive.
Yeah.
And that they...
Well, like I said about the pivoting, I mean, I don't, you know, I've never been in the military, don't have a military family background, but I've always joked that the United States military is the greatest logistical organization in the world. It's like, you need to get 300,000 people from here to there and build a whole city, done.
Yep.
You know, you need to get this to that, blah, 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 all that kind of stuff. Like that's, you know, if you think FedEx is good at logistics or bad at logistics, it's like the government, you know, the military knows how to do all these different things.
Probably the only person better than the military is Chick-fil-A. Yeah.
But there is definitely, I don't want to say a stigma, that's the wrong word, of like, the specialized nature of potentially military jobs and how does that translate to, you know, a general workforce, I guess, you know? So yeah, I mean, that's, we're not breaking new ground talking about that.
Well, I was able to see behind the veil because I bothered Tyson every day trying to get in there.
And they finally hired me.
Okay. I got a, you know, I went on terminal leave. So I had 90 days where I was getting paid from the military.
Yeah.
And I'm on, I mean, those are all my PTO days.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm going to get a job. I'm going to double dip.
Yeah.
I heard about this double dipping. It's going to be amazing.
Yeah.
Here I am, Christmas Eve, driving over one of our, you know, I can just visualize driving over one of the junction bridges.
Okay.
And thinking, it's Christmas Eve. I've been on unemployment for 2 months. Like, I really need to get a job.
Yeah.
And my phone rang and...
On Christmas Eve.
Okay. And the hiring manager for that recruiting job called and said, hey, I just wanted to let you know before Christmas, we're offering you the job. And after the...
it's a Christmas miracle, Tim.
Yeah. After Christmas, we're going to drop the
goosebumps.
Offer.
Yeah.
So went to work doing industrial maintenance.
Okay.
Nobody knew what it was.
Yeah. I
mean, well, they knew what it was, but nobody recruited for it.
Understood.
Learned the job pretty quick.
Yeah.
Wanted to put my best foot forward on how do we do something different than we're not doing.
Yeah.
Work with the Department of Labor, created the first registered apprenticeship program for a manufacturer.
That's cool.
Then wanted to understand ammonia refrigeration because those guys are real, you know, there's 7,000 jobs open every day for ammonia refrigeration.
Really?
There's only 700 looking.
Yeah.
So it is a tight field. And those guys, I mean, there's a group called the Ammonia Mafia.
Okay.
I mean, if you guys know who you are, you know who you
this
are.
This is a whole thing I have no
there's
idea
a tattoo
about.
Tattoo for
yeah.
it.
Oh my God. Okay.
But they don't talk to, like, ammonia is a very tight-knit community.
Okay.
So I went and got my certified ammonia refrigeration operator certification.
In. Did you get the tattoo?
I did not get the tattoo. And I actually never even touched an ammonia system.
Okay.
But I had a great respect for
it. Yeah.
Because it was not easy. I mean, I studied for 5 months on every science thing I had to take this test.
Okay.
Just so I could understand who we were looking at. Also, I could say I have my K-Row so people would talk to me.
Yeah.
And then I could hire the best that we could get.
Yeah, you're in the club, you've done your due diligence, you're trusted, you're vetted, but you're not I get it.
Segues into the marketing. So
I'm wondering, this is the longest how did we get into marketing story ever, but I love it, dude. I'm here for it.
I wanted to be in marketing and I heard it is the toughest position to get in the company.
Okay.
So
that's interesting.
I did all that and then there was shopper marketing.
Yeah.
And I looked at the requirements on the job and I'm trying to figure out like, what don't I know?
Yeah.
What gaps do I have?
Yeah.
And then who do I know in the company who works in that area who can help teach me some of these things?
Sure.
And as they're teaching me, they're talking to the hiring manager at the time.
Got it.
And helping me out by talking to them like, hey, we've got this spot. Because the girl who worked in the spot I ended up taking, it was open for 9 months.
Okay.
I went to lunch and never showed back up.
Mm.
She mailed her computer in, apparently.
Okay. She's just, I'm out.
Yeah.
Done here.
So long story short, I move over to shopper marketing.
Okay.
I finally get my in, study it up, do
it,
learn it, work on some big accounts.
Yeah.
And then get tapped to go over to channel development.
Okay.
Like the point is here, it started all the way back in basic training.
Yeah.
Looking at that senior airman saying, I want to get this job.
Yeah.
So I did personnel on purpose because I said, what do I want to do when I'm done?
Yeah.
And I want to be in a business space.
Yeah, absolutely.
I didn't plan to stay in 16 years.
Yeah, I planned
that six and get out.
Yeah.
But the...
Hey, life's what happened
the
when
mission
when
never changed.
Yeah.
It's like, this is what I want to do.
That's cool.
And so going into marketing and having these skill sets and always wanting to learn, I think has been good because I enjoy marketing.
Yeah.
I would say that when Megan and I were working together,
yeah,
she was extremely creative.
Yeah.
And I was... And she was... Probably strength and creativity, and then secondary was like analytics.
Yeah,
I was.
You're stealing my
strong in athletic.
Yeah,
analytics.
Yeah.
And still like creativity.
Yeah. Well, one of the things I was going to say, I was going to jump in at the end of this here, and I'll jump in now, is that one of the things I really appreciate about working together is that there is this nebulous, I don't want to say cloud, but there is a nebulous cloud in marketing sometimes of people's subjectivity, right?
Yep.
Of I like orange and I hate green and this and that. Mm-hmm. And there's no like, it's like, hey, we're creating all this stuff for you, for your business. But at the end of the day, our client might actually not be the target audience, right? And they inject
exactly
potentially some subjectivity and lack of analytics into the decision-making process. And we'll mm-hmm. raise our hand to be like, hey, this is a bad idea. Like, don't do this. And like, why are you asking? You know, like, so for non-sophisticated clients, sometimes some subjectivity and personal likes get in the way, right? As opposed to what the numbers are. But Tim, you bring like a great, I don't want to say military analytic background, mm-hmm. but like a logical process driven decision-making that removes a lot of the analytics. And it truly is, this is the best, you know, system or metrics in order to measure, are these things working? And then A/B testing X, Y, Z, you know what I mean? Like it's a constant process of driving that funnel of unknownness, right? Mm-hmm. Into like, here's actionable data that we can actually use, right? Which is
that.
A rarity. I don't want to say it's a rarity, but it is kind of a rarity for some of our clients. Some of our clients, it's just kind of, or the industry is, you just kind of do what you do because that's the way you've always done it.
Yes.
And it's like, oh, I like that one. And I'm just like, oh, okay, that's great. I mean, it's important that you like it, you know? But that's not the only decision criteria. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, but you bring the lovely analytic aspect to things, right?
Well,
which I think
like
is cool.
To look at, I mean, well, first of all, I believe that if I'm coming, there is a book, who wrote it? Ken Blanchard. None of us is as smart as all of us.
Okay.
And I take that. I mean, the book is great. It's written like a parable.
Okay.
But I like that because if I'm coming to you to get your help, I mean, part of it might be that I need graphic design.
Sure.
But if I'm coming to you for creativity and coming for your help, then I'm going to be open to anything.
Yeah.
I know what needs to be accomplished on my side.
Yeah.
The client side, I know I need to get this and I need to update this.
Sure.
But then at that point, coming over to you, to any vendor that I use.
Yeah.
Like even the packaging group I was just with.
Yeah.
Hey, you're the subject matter expert.
Yeah.
Like, here's what I do know has to be there.
Yeah.
And here's kind of the idea, but I'm not going to drive the whole thing.
Yeah, but you guys know the secret sauce on how this works. Yeah. I need you to bring your expertise and your thunder to this project.
Exactly.
Yeah.
My job is, I mean, in marketing, especially in what I do with poultry.
Well, that's what makes you awesome.
Yeah. Oh, thanks.
Yeah. That's why you're on the podcast.
It doesn't start until the product actually hits. I mean, I'll help, you know, the sales team out.
Yeah.
We put a toolkit together, so to speak, for them to go out and market that if we're not with them.
Yeah, understood.
But Megan sent me something the other day, and I thought it was really good. I don't know where she got it, but it said marketing is like asking the person on a date. Branding is why they accept it.
Yeah.
And it's true. My job doesn't even start until things hit the shelf.
It's so funny you say that because we've actually talked in the podcast before about how we will live with something for 6 months, 3 months, maybe a year, maybe longer, right? With our clients, right? Before anyone's even seen it, before it's even gone out the door. And clients tend to sour on their own brands and communication strategy far sooner than they should because they've been living with it for a year before anyone else has lived with it, right? And it's like, oh, it's been a year. It's time to change everything. And it's like, whoa, wait a minute. Like, yeah, you launched a year ago, but you only went into these two or three markets.
Yep.
You're just getting traction over here. You're just growing over there. And you already want to change things?
Yeah.
It's like, It's like Coca-Cola changes the can every two years because they're never going to change the formulation again because they have to change their packaging. Yep. You know, Doritos will change the packaging, but like those are ubiquitous products that are in every single place everywhere, right? Yep. They have a calendar of, you know, or liquor stores or whatever. They have a calendar, a seasonality of when they refresh.
Brand loyalty.
But when you
huge brand loyalty.
Yeah, but when you just launch something brand new or you're trying, you know, like you can't refresh it that soon. You know what I mean? Or you can't start changing things that soon. It's interesting. So
you I love that you think about those products, like you said, you have Takis, you have Doritos, you have beverages, things like that. Those things have such a brand following
and a
brand loyalty. I mean, some people will drink, they don't even know why they do. They just know that they like that brand and everything else is bad. Growing up, we ate Foster Farms.
Yeah.
That's what they had in California.
So, same with me. It was
so
all Foster Farms.
I moved to Arkansas. I was like,
where's the Foster
Farms? What is this Tyson stuff? This must not be the good stuff because I'd never seen it.
Yeah.
So you have a brand loyalty and a brand following for those things. Why do I wear Nike Jordans and I don't wear Adidas?
Dude, what am I wearing right now?
Yeah.
Three stripes, baby.
All respect. But it's because of that brand loyalty. And it comes from marketing. What I try to tell people sometimes is there's marketing all around you. Everything is marketing you.
Sure.
You don't make decisions because you're just making the decision most of the time. You're making it because of something that you have been taught.
Yeah.
Social media is a great example of that now. I mean, just constant messaging.
Barrage,
it doesn't even have to be about a product.
Yeah.
You see the same kind of message over and over. It starts to change your consideration set. But to your point, people like Coca-Cola can change the can. They can do all that stuff, and people are still going to trust that.
Yeah.
Like,
they just tinker in the margins. They're not doing full-scale, reimagination. It's just tinkering in the margins because they have to do something because it's been 2 years.
Remember the clear Pepsi?
Yeah.
That went on for a minute, and you know, from what I read on that, it didn't go super well because that was a drastic change.
Yeah.
Well,
Tropicana. We've talked about it before, but remember when Tropicana dumped the orange with the straw? In it, you know, and then shocker, their sales plummeted because nobody could find their carton of orange juice anymore.
Yep.
You know, that type of thing. So.
Well, I mean, if you think about chicken, you can't do so. To your point, making big changes.
Yeah.
If I make a big change to my product.
Yeah.
Then somebody's going to think, like, let's say I change the logo.
Yeah.
If you don't market that correctly, then the consumer thinks, oh, they changed the logo? The formula must have changed.
Well,
the
we've talked
must have changed.
Yeah, we counsel a lot of our clients, too, on evolution versus revolution, right?
Yeah.
And you want to avoid sharper confusion, right? Because you said, oh, why do I wear Nike Jordans? Why do I wear Adidas? What, you know, a lot of times it kind of boils down to, you know, I buy the blue bag. You know, and you buy the red bag, you know, and all of a sudden, if you change everything too much, bring it back to sports, right?
Yeah.
If you go, you know, full revolution is Tampa Bay Buccaneers, right? they were the creamsicle with the pirate with the thing, and then they dumped all their colors, dumped their logo, did the pirate flag with the skull and the pewter, and so you know, that's a full reimagination versus like evolution of the Arizona Cardinals, which they just made the Cardinal a little bit meaner.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They made his eye a little bit meaner, gave him an eyebrow. You know, it's not like, or Detroit Lions, they finally added a little bit of illustration into the silhouette of the lion. But they didn't change everything.
Maybe the
Raiders
need to change something.
No, the Raiders are one of the only teams. I think they are the only team that's never changed their logo.
You know, maybe they change their logo, something else will change.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I appreciate the Raiders, but I'm not a big Raiders fan.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And I kind of, you know, I mean, obviously my favorite football player ever, Jerry Rice, went over to the Raiders and, you know, they lost that Super Bowl and whatnot. So I love the Raiders, you know, but I'm also like, who cares? I'm like, whatever, you know? So, but yeah, to your point, like, you know, shopper confusion can be very detrimental if you don't explain the rationale to your consumers as to why you're doing what you're doing. You know, so yeah, I mean, I agree with you.
Well, and I like what you said. People pivot too early.
Yeah.
And
well, clients, I think, pivot too early because we think about it and we live it and we breathe it every single day, but consumers don't. They just dip in and dip out. And it's like, oh, it's your primary job. You're working on this 8 hours a day, you know, 40 hours a week, you know what I mean? Like month after month, right? But consumers are only like 5 seconds a month, maybe. Blink. Oh, I went to the grocery store and I bought this.
I think that, you know, as a client and a manufacturer, I do believe in holding off. Like, just because you see one number or let's say you have a product and you have a leaker and everything's been going fine.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden there's this one leaking thing and somebody makes a comment. It's not something to jump on.
It's not panic in the streets.
Like, oh my gosh, we've run 20,000 of these and one of them leaked.
Yeah.
Let's change something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so that's my example with the marketing. Having launched plenty of innovation, it takes time.
Yeah.
The other part, it takes money.
But we're not patient anymore.
No.
Right? That's part of the problem is we're not patient anymore. Yeah, well, and I tell clients this all the time in terms of like, hey, if you want to go straight to consumer, that's the most expensive thing you can possibly do.
Yeah.
It's much easier to be a B2B or a wholesale manufacturer where it's like, I drop off 50 boxes of this to one client versus, oh, now I need to sell 50 boxes of this to 50 different people. Right?
Exactly.
But, oh, I have no understanding or history of that in my organization because I've always been a B2B, you know, manufacturer or a private labeler or whatever like that. And it's like, whoa. You don't have the team on your side of the fence. You don't have the knowledge on your side of the fence. And you certainly don't have the budget for, you know, a lot of, I mean, advertising's changed and marketing has changed so much over the past 30 years, right?
It's probably changed since we've been doing this.
Yeah. But the cardinal tenet of consistency and reach and frequency, right? It's like, you can't just blow a bunch of money on one day and run one print ad somewhere. You know, like you have to be there when they're ready for their consideration set to make a decision, right?
So seasonality is really good for that.
Yeah.
You know, so I went to a meeting once with one of our sales folks to see a customer.
Yeah.
That customer's like, hey, you know, we can't take this Holbert product. It's too big.
Yeah.
And it won't sell really well for our customers.
Got it.
Things like that. And I said, okay, well, what if we work, you know, sales talking, what if we work on getting the bird smaller and with this and that? And that's where I think that sales and marketing are puzzles, pieces you put together because we're in the room and they're saying that and sales is doing a great job at what sales is doing.
Sure.
But the marketer is hearing something different.
Totally different.
And so I speak up, I say, have you guys ever, this is around November, have you guys ever done any promotion with this?
Yeah.
Like actual marketing promotion? I said, well, we do trade promotions. I said, not the dollar off. I said, tapping into the right things. I said, so like Friendsgiving.
Yeah.
You know, that's big now.
Yeah.
And when it comes to a whole bird, most people don't know. I mean, I didn't even know till last year because I didn't bother with it. But we have somebody who makes recipes for us.
Yeah.
And they made 3 or 4 recipes on this whole bird. So last Thanksgiving, I cooked all of them.
Yeah. Nice.
But you have to show the consumer how they can do it. So you could show them this bird and then you promote Friendsgiving and these small occasions and how this bird can
it fits that, do that. Occasion. Yeah.
And then here are the recipes that help you do that.
Yeah, totally.
Like try this recipe. It's fun. This is easy.
Yeah.
Once you show them how you educate them,
now
they know, oh, Friendsgiving's coming up.
Yep.
This brand has recipes for me.
Yeah.
I think I'll try that.
Yeah.
And they had never done that. So that's and so we did it.
Yeah, nice.
And it's been very successful. But that again,
having the partnership.
Having the partnership in the room. Listen, you want me to go in and sell something, you're gonna be disappointed with what I walk out with.
Yeah.
It's not my jam.
Yeah.
But hearing those things,
that's awesome.
And trying to bring it in. But I think that, you know, if I were to say to marketers, always be learning.
Yeah.
Always be like, if there's conferences you can go to, I'm doing a lot of AI right now.
Yeah.
Just because that's what's coming up.
Sure.
And so
you can't get rid of it, even though it's, you know.
Well, and I went to a path to purchase thing, and the guy said, market or AI is not going to take your job. The person who knows how to use it is going to take your job.
Yeah.
And it's true. I mean, I showed my son who can't learn anything from a parent because he's going to be 15 this week.
Sure.
I showed
that him. Happens, buddy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's like, Dad, I know everything in the world.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I said, just watch
when you're 15,
me.
You're the smartest person on the planet.
Yeah.
It's really, I know.
Yeah.
I know. It's like, no, you don't know, dude.
Yeah.
I'm telling you this. Anyway.
Well, we pull up ChatGPT and I'm working on, I'm like, okay, Noah, let me, you know, let's go through this thing, whatever he gave me. And I said, okay, I could do that. Boop, 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 boop.
Yep.
And because that's the sound that ChatGPT
of course
makes.
It does.
And
bleep, bloop, bleep,
and then bloop. He's like, oh, wow. And I said, you know what I think? I think this. And I typed this thing in and did it. And it even defined it more. And he's like, oh, wow, I didn't even know it does all that. I'm like, yeah, if you shut this and open these.
Yeah, exactly.
You would hear that.
Yeah.
But I think that that's something we get complacent sometimes. Mm. I think that...
From a marketing perspective.
From a marketing perspective, especially working in a corporation.
Yeah.
especially a
layers,
a shared,
yeah,
like an IPO, you get so bogged down with doing a lot.
Yeah.
But you have to be learning.
Yeah.
Because if you don't, you don't know what's coming up. You don't know what the next thing is.
Yeah, great.
And so you should always be doing it so that you could be on the cutting edge of what the next marketing thing could be.
Well, plus, like, if you think about, like, horizontal rows of generations, if we were to take generations and put them in bars, you know, we'll always be stuck in our bar, right? But our bar is going to level up, and there's going to be multiple bars underneath, right, eventually. And it's, we can't always continue to just keep doing what we've always been doing because it worked for us.
It's like the AI thing.
Yeah, yeah. Different things are
going to
occur.
You don't do this, that's fine, because somebody else is going to do it.
Yeah.
So you're either going to get on it or you're not going to get on
it.
And when we look at, you know, so generations changing by technology.
Yeah. Sure.
So generations are getting shorter. Now you're, I mean, we've got $350 billion in purchasing power in Gen Z, and not all Gen Z is purchasing yet.
Yeah.
But we're already talking about alpha because technology is changing so much.
Yeah.
So are they. So it's more important than ever to understand what your consumer wants and what matters to them.
Absolutely.
And we have a lot of, my opinion, Tim's opinion, we have a lot of misinformation running around out there too.
Yeah.
But that also,
I think that's fact. I don't think that's, you know, your opinion. It is factual. Yeah. So.
And but that changes the opinion too.
Yeah.
If one person, again, I said it earlier off the podcast here, but three people, happy people tell three.
Yeah.
Unhappy people tell 3,000.
Yeah, exactly.
And it doesn't even have to be true.
Yeah. My wife, I always joke, my wife was a college professor for a number of years. And it was, there was the beginning of this Rate My Professor website. You know, like call it the Glassdoor whatever.
I did sign up for a couple of classes after looking at that.
Yeah, and it was like, well, hold on a second here. You know, like, happy students don't go and write amazing reviews for, again, this is pre-Google reviews and all stuff, you know. Only the miserable go and complain about things. Yep. You know what I mean? And it's kind of like that's what Twitter customer service was, call it 7 years ago, right?
Yep.
You know, my flight's been to like, blah, 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 you know, like it was like, no one's like, oh man, I just had the greatest experience at the grocery store with checkout customer such and such. You know, like you just kind of go amongst your day, right?
You're expecting it.
Yeah, exactly. So so you're dead nuts on. I mean, you know, you have a great interaction, you tell the three people in your family, but you have a bad interaction, you put it online, you know, and you sync everybody's whatever, and then boom, that piece of negative news is out there for 3,000, 30,000.
That's where I think your branding has to be good. I
mean,
branding, the brand gap. I couldn't even say that guy's last name. It's like mine.
Yeah.
A brand is a gut feeling.
Yeah.
You have a gut feeling about it. It's why you buy it.
Well, there's Malcolm Gladwell wrote that book, because we're talking about books, Blink, right?
Oh, yeah.
And it was, have you read that one?
Without Thinking.
Yeah. Yep. Well, but there's a whole thing in there about I'm going to bastardize this whole thing, but it was kind of like what we're talking about, how all decisions made in the world are emotional decisions.
Yep.
And then you immediately rationalize that emotional decision with facts. So like, oh, I want to buy that car. You want to buy that car because you like that car, because it looks cool, because of whatever. Then you go and you go, okay, hey, it's got EPA this, and it's got this good mileage, and it's got leather in, you know, like you fact base out, right? And there's another chapter too about like how do, you know, art historians know what's a fake versus what's not a fake. Remember that?
Yeah.
And it's like they walk in and they go, boom, that's fake, right? Yeah. And then they go, brrr, and they make the list of like, you know, you rationalize it, right?
Yeah.
So there is definitely something to
the art of thinking without thinking.
Yeah,
because you just know it.
Yeah, but it's the emotional impact immediacy, and brands have the ability to do that. I mean, a brand is the internalized sum of all parts of experience, you know?
Yep.
It's not just the Starbucks cup of coffee, it's the experience of Starbucks. And you mentioned Chick-fil-A earlier, it's the my pleasure. It's you know, it's everything else outside of just the sandwich itself,
yeah,
if that makes sense, you know?
Well, and you think about Starbucks, like when they, you know, Starbucks started out as the Pequod. That's what it was called, because it was three English majors. I remember this from my master's marketing class.
Okay.
Three English majors. They go on the hippie trail. They come back. They want to make a place for coffee, but they don't have seating. They just have like, you can buy coffee supplies and get a cup of coffee. You leave.
Yeah.
And it was called the Pequod after Moby Dick.
Okay.
And they said, it's probably not a good name.
Yeah.
So they changed it to Starbucks.
Yeah.
And had the siren on the
brought front. In the mermaid, the siren. Yeah.
And you know, originally a Siren Head.
Two tails, know, right, I think?
Didn't yep, have
two?
Yeah. And boobs with yeah. nipples and areolas yeah, and all yeah, kinds yeah, of stuff. Yeah. And they said, probably not a good idea.
Nah, I thought so it was a great idea. Yeah. I love it.
You know. But then they bring Howard Schultz in, and yeah. Howard Schultz says, I envision a third space. You have work and home, so the first and second space, but what about a space where people come and have coffee mm-hmm. and they talk to each other, they work,
yeah.
and you can be in the third space and interact in it, meaning you and I sit down, we yeah. have a conversation, or like a lot of us do, I need to go work somewhere and I want to work yeah. somewhere else. I'm going to put headphones in. I'm going to go to the third space,
yeah.
but not interact in it.
Yeah.
And then that changed coffee. Now you have coffee places popping up yeah. all over. Now it's ubiquitous. Yeah. I think that the CAGR for coffee is going down
yeah.
actually over the next 4 years.
Yeah.
But
we'll see. Well, I mean, gosh, I mean, have you been to a Starbucks? I mean, it's like $7 for a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
what the? I mean, there is a point where it's like,
you got to stop.
Yeah. Yeah.
yeah. Well, then you go to a specialty yeah. coffee shop and it's different.
Yeah. But, we thought $3 was expensive for a cup of coffee.
But I think and people now are going yeah. for the experience.
Yeah. yeah, yeah, yeah.
You see these places.
But that defines what we're talking about in terms of branding. That's yeah. the branding aspect of it or yeah. brand loyalty. Like you said, Jordan.
I went to Brash this morning. Shout out to Brash.
Yeah. Shout out.
Great coffee. The idea was cool. The concept of having like a Connex box or a freight box and you build this thing out.
Yeah.
It's just, that's what people are doing now. But yeah. I don't even know where we got onto this conversation. But
doesn't matter.
Yeah. Marketing, I think we talked.
Here's what it is, Tim. It's never stop learning and never stop evolving. No. Is what it was.
You and I talked about it earlier. I was talking about brands and I said, you know, there are a lot of companies out there, if you're listening.
They're listening to yeah. tens of people are listening.
Heck yeah. Heck yeah. We're changing the world.
Yeah. yeah. Hey, one person at a time, baby.
Well, Malcolm Gladwell.
Yeah.
Tipping point.
Yeah.
You
yeah,
just
yeah.
need the right person.
Yeah.
Taylor
yeah.
Swift, if you're listening,
yeah.
I need you to promote this.
Yeah.
But thinking about
just interject more keywords, Tim. Yeah. Keep saying keywords.
Yeah. Swifty. So you take a PlayStation. And I gave you this example, and you go into a Best Buy and you take a PlayStation 6 box and you make it up and there's yeah. no PlayStation 6, but you make one and you stick it on a pedestal in the door in Rogers, Arkansas. Shout out. That picture.
Yeah. Someone's going to snap that, put it on there, whatever. Yeah. Yeah.
In one day.
Yeah.
But they still put tens of millions of dollars towards their branding.
Yeah. For a 5 year old product.
Exactly.
Yeah, for a 5 year old product, they're still spending tens of millions of dollars globally. You know.
Yeah. So yep. I think that you have to be consistent. I think that as a marketer, the best thing you can do, especially if you're trying to get into marketing, is to continue to learn, continue yeah. to understand consumers, continue to. It's not even just about the consumer.
Yeah.
You need to watch the behavior, but you need to see what's going on economically.
Yeah.
How things are changing.
Yeah.
In my world, I have to look at what inflation's doing.
Yeah, you can't be just vertically siloed in your closet. Exactly. You got to look holistically on who's yep. next door.
And
yeah.
you have to be patient.
Yeah, yeah.
So
It's hard yeah. to tell clients that. But it's cool that you're a client and you understand that, which is great.
Yeah,
so.
It's fun.
Tim, this is an awesome conversation. We've been rocking and rocking. This might be the longest podcast we've ever recorded,
yeah.
quite honestly, which is totally
now.
Badass. All right, so we should probably wrap it up at some point here.
Yeah.
But so I got one random question for you.
Okay.
At the end, I can't remember. We used to have clients on, and I'd ask them yeah. a litany of questions.
Yeah, I've never been a fan of Pez. Is that what you're going to ask me?
Pez?
Yeah.
No. Oh, but okay. I'm okay with that. Pez are chalky and
yeah.
You know. Have you watched Silo on Apple TV?
I've not.
Because there's a Pez reference in there. Okay. Yeah. Anyway. All right. We'll end on this one. What's your favorite brand? I'm putting you on the hot seat, so I'll sit here and babble on here for a minute to let you think about it.
I guess it depends on what it is, what category.
There's no wrong answer to yeah. this. It doesn't matter. It's just like what, because you mentioned I love, you know, Adidas or yeah. I love, you know, this, that, and whatever. Like,
I think I'm just going to spit a couple of them out.
Yeah.
If it's wine, because I love wine.
Ooh, you are a wine guy.
Sommelier is okay. Dow out of Paso Robles.
Okay.
Because it's just a great wine. It's, again, branding. That's,
okay.
That's where I'm from.
Okay.
So I love it.
Yeah. All right.
Shoes. I like a lot of Nikes.
Okay.
I have a lot of Jordans.
Yeah.
I have more shoes than I should have.
That's all right. Are you a sneakerhead?
I am.
Okay.
I've got
Do some. You buy two pairs? Save
no.
one? Okay.
No.
Okay. You wear
and
them.
And I wear all mine.
You wear them. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I'm okay with that.
I have a 2017 SB Concept High Dunk that is the ugly sweater.
Okay.
And that I don't wear Christmas ugly sweaters. Okay. I wear all black and throw those shoes on to let them speak for themselves.
Badass. I love that. So, okay.
All right. Brands like that.
Okay.
You know, I like a lot of different things.
Yeah.
So golf, TaylorMade.
TaylorMade.
Play a lot of TaylorMade.
All right.
So
I'm into it.
That's about it.
Well, dude, this has been awesome, man. Thanks for spending a bunch of time just chatting. If anybody wants to drop you a note, do you want to shout out your contact info or is that too much or whatever?
No, that's fine. Here's my phone number.
No. No, I mean, I guess they can look you up on LinkedIn, right?
Yeah,
on LinkedIn.
You can get me LinkedIn at Timothy Kleindienst, KLINEDINST.
Perfect.
Or shoot me an email at censoredthought@gmail.com. Awesome. censoredthought. I'm censored and I have a thought at gmail.com.
I love it. I love it. Well, Tim, thanks, dude. Super appreciate it.
Yeah,
you know? Next time you're in Atlanta, let's do it again.
For sure.
You know, for sure. All right, we'll play the outro music.
Yeah.